We greet you all, brothers, wherever you are in Germany, Texas. I know I remember there. I remember you, Brother Alain. Prayers. God bless you. And in Canada, we remember our sister there. And we also remember all those who are with us in the fellowship, in the work of the Christ. We are going to sing hymn number 27 in our songs here about looking unto Jesus Christ. The scriptures have not given us any other person, for there is not any other name given unto us through which we will be saved, but the name of Jesus Christ. So hymn number 27, Brother Larson.
Penya kwa Yesu ulibo moyo wo inde moyo
inde wo
yo so pano wo tu ola pia
ola pia ube
penya kwa Yesu uye di mu bo mo
di mo mo di
na pe la tri
Luke, Luke, Luke.
a look at the parliament. There is lapses at this moment for thee. Oh, why was he there as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus thy guilt was not laid, or why on his side flow the sin cleansing blood? If his dying thy death was not dead, it is not thy tears or repentance or prayers, but the blood that atones for the soul. On him then, who shed it, thou mayest at once thy weight of iniquities roll. Then take with rejoicing from Jesus at once. Take the life everlasting he gives, and know with assurance thou never canst die, since Jesus thy righteousness lives. That's the song we sang. We are trying to make sure that sometimes we start with our local song and close with one in English, so that those who are with us in English also should sing with us songs of praise. So maybe we'll be trying to do so as the Lord leads. But again, I don't have much to say, but to allow you to speak what the Lord has put upon your heart, let me ask Brother Blackstone to open with a word of prayer, and after prayer, you will take it from there. God bless you.
Chikwa chauke mene matipasa hii kutisuka mungu mchawe wiki kwenye mungu kwa ichiwa kifu kama kuchukua kwa mwuzi marwa kwa kukamba zimele suge basi kwa mungu wa mungu ziku mkukosa mchawe hii kutulia suka mungu niwe yatu kutikuza kukunzi ya zazu kumza kwa uwa mpepe abwe bandiza abusa kieni kwa mene akaka kukunzi za kutumu mkukuzi za bewe kwa chandiza kwa kwa sankamu maso na kare guru na
God bless you. You will continue going slow as you know you have a new income later. God bless you, brother.
Thank you so very much. Let's take our Bibles and look together in Acts chapter 4. And today, my text is going to be from verse 23 down to verse 31. And I want to speak with you about the God who rules and overrules. God who rules and overrules.
Buku la mtu folo, tukamila ni maka 23, kukapika ni maka 31. Yivikene tufula tikaone kwa za mulu, wala mulira, amene ama la mulira, ntiku mamhamu. Mulu amene ndu wala mulira, ndiku ama la mulira, mamhamu.
I want to go just verse by verse, so if you'll read just verse 23 to begin with.
Nye tukake nga ni maka 23, imene akuti, okrubi la tumo kila upembe, verse 23. Ndipo mene ana masulidwa, anaja kwa anzao ayo oka. Na wawuzazilizo onse oweruza ndia kulu adanena nao.
Now here's the first way that we see the God who rules and overrules in the affairs of men. You see, God is not reacting to what happens on earth, but rather he is directing in everything that happens. That's what we need to remember. He's not reacting, but he's directing. You see, when they arrested Peter and John And let's not forget the lame man that was healed as well. There are three of them here that were arrested. Their intent was to do them harm. Their intent was to stop them from preaching in the name of Christ. That was their intent. We saw that last time how they threatened them, for example, in the verses leading up to verse 19, that they should not speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. That was an offensive message to them. But we saw last time the boldness that the Lord gave to Peter and John in verse 19. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. It's a reminder of why it is that there are so many preachers and yet they don't preach Christ and Him crucified. The reason is they've never seen or heard. They're still blind. They're still deaf. If the Lord has graciously enabled us to preach Christ and Him crucified, it's not because we are smarter. It's not because we're more intelligent than the rest. We preach, like Peter and John said, that which we have seen and heard. In other words, God has given us eyes to see and ears to hear. But it's not only true of the preacher, it's also true of the hearers, those that hear us, because here was this lame man that they brought in with Peter and John. They were trying to drive a wedge and threaten him along with them. But we read in verse 21 that when they had further threatened them, and that includes Peter, John, and this lame man, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done.
Now
the point I want us to see, because we're looking at the God who rules and overrules, yes, verse 21 says, they let them go. And down in verse 23, we read, and being let go. But who is it that truly opened the door and let them go? It's God Himself. These could not do one thing more or less than what God had purposed. You there? The Lord reminded Pilate, that Roman governor, of this when Pilate said to him, "Don't you know that I have power to crucify you?" And what did our Lord tell him? "You would have no power whatsoever but what my Father in heaven gives you." So let's not fear what men threaten to do unto us. We're not to fear men, but God. You're going to face it there in Malawi. I know here in the United States, this is the big concern now in the nation and politics, just how many laws are being made against Christianity. And yet, I think and sit back and rest in the fact that God is sovereignly directing in it all. There's not one decision made. There's not one law made among men that what God has ordained. In Proverbs it says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and as a river of water flows, he turns the current wherever he wills. So we're not in a panic. We're not to fear. I know there's going to be laws there in Malawi, just like here, that men ordain that might in some way affect our freedom and ability to preach and declare the gospel of Christ. But you know, if the Lord so ordains, then he ordained it for that time. He is the God that rules and overrules. This is what Nebuchadnezzar, back in his day, he was the most powerful king on earth. And he threatened, you remember Daniel's three friends, he even threatened Daniel, threw him in the lion's den. But in all of that, God was working. If you've never read Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35 before, then we need to read it. Look in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. This was Nebuchadnezzar's testimony after the Lord had laid him low, made him like a beast in the field. His hair grew long and his nails like a beast. And the Lord subdued him and then raised him up. And this is his testimony when the Lord raised him up. Daniel chapter 4 and verse
35.
Yes, read that, please.
Ndi okhala pa dziko la pansi onse ayesedwa achabe. Ndipo iye achita mwachifuniro chake mkhamu la kumwamba ndi mwa okhala pa dziko la pansi. Ndipo palibe woletsa dzanja lake kapena wakunena naye muchitanji. 36.
They've just had the annual meeting of all of the top leaders of the world meeting at the United Nations. This week they have had the gathering of all of the top rulers and leaders of the world meeting in New York City at the United Nations. And when they put it on TV, on television, it looks pretty impressive. All of these presidents and rulers and kings with their entourages that have descended in one place in the world. But notice what the Word of God says here. All the inhabitants of the earth, that's billions of people, that it says here are reputed as nothing. When you think of all of the nations of the world and all of the populations, even now with some of these trying to go across borders and trying to get into other countries, it's nothing. It's like an ant colony, just lots of little ants running around, but it's the Lord who is ruling and overruling in it all. But notice it says in verse Daniel 4:35, and he doeth according to his will. It says in the army of heaven. That's talking about not only the galaxies with the stars and the moon and the sun, but even the angels, all of that, not only on earth but in heaven, he is doing his will. There's not one thing that happens or takes place but what he wills it. This is what's wrong with modern day preaching, because everything's about man's will, man deciding, you determining your destination, you deciding whether or not you'll be saved or not. That is completely foreign language to what the Word tells us about how God works and acts. It is according to his will. He saves whom he will. He condemns whom he will. These religious leaders in Acts 4 that we're reading, they took it upon themselves to condemn Peter and John and this lame man who was healed, but they themselves were subject to the greatest condemnation of all, which is God leading them to their blindness and to their hardness toward Christ. And Daniel 4:35 sums it all up. None can stay his hand. See, what's the popular message is that God really wants to save you, but unless you let him, he can't or won't. That's not the message of Scripture. Here it says, none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So coming back here to Acts 4:23, when it says being let go, that was God himself who purposed that they be let go. These men that arrested them, they had no intention of letting them go. But when they realized they had no other option, because it says they're all glorified God for that which was done in verse 21. They had no choice but to let them go because God purposed that they be let go. The same thing was proved back when the Lord purposed to bring Israel out of Egypt. You think about Pharaoh and the power that he exerted. And yet, when Moses said, God said through Moses, let my people go, the Lord broke him down, even hardened his heart, but yet broke him down to where he had no other choice but to let them go. And you know, this is our comfort as well when we think about God's working in this world. The Lord told Peter in Acts or in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he told Peter that upon this rock he would build his church. He's not talking about building it on Peter, but building it on himself, the rock, the truth that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 16 and verse
18.
And notice there in Matthew 16:18, it says, and notice in Matthew 16:18, it says at the end there, and the gates,
this 18 says,
go ahead, Matthew 16:18. See, the rock is Christ. The confession of Peter, that in verse 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord said, on this rock, on that very person and declaration, he would build his church. See, there are some that say that that means that the Lord was saying he was going to build his church on Peter as the first pope. No, the word Peter means a little stone. The word rock means a large foundation. Peter was just a little stone. Christ is the foundation.
Mawoti
But the part I want you to see is the last part of verse 18. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That the picture there is of Christ going in and bringing out, rescuing out those that belong to him. And hell itself, Satan himself, the world could not stop him. This is our confidence that as we preach the gospel of Christ, there's going to be many that will reject it. The Lord is so purposed. He leads them to their own condemnation. But those that God has purposed to save and that Christ has redeemed, he will have. He will bring them out. He will draw them to himself. And we can rest in that. I've had some say to me, if you would just change your message, you could have more people attending. You could have a bigger congregation. You're a good speaker, but it's your message. And my answer is, I'm not trying to get as many to hear me as I can. That's not my purpose. I'm on the trail of God's sheep. And the one message that God's sheep hear, that he causes them to hear, is the voice of Christ. Christ and him crucified. That's all I want, is those that the Lord himself is drawing. You see, these here in Acts 4, with Peter and John and this lame man that had been healed, you talk about a contrast. There were 70 of the top religious leaders of the day questioning them. And here's just Peter, John, and this lame man had been healed. There's more that oppose than are with the gospel, but that did not influence Peter to change his message. You see, they asked Peter by what name that this man was healed. And Peter did not compromise. He didn't say, well, by the name of Jehovah God. If he'd have said that, there wouldn't have been a fight. But in verse 10, when he said that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. He was not preaching a popular message. You see, we're not of those that compare ourselves one with another. We're not worried about how many are attending our places of worship. Our concern is that Christ be glorified where we do attend, that Christ be exalted. But you know, the world, the religious world, counts heads. They think that they're better, or their God is blessing more because they have more people following them. They have more in attendance. They have contests, even between congregations, to see who can get the most people out. That's the world, but that's not the gospel. I ask you, where would you rather be? With the 70 religious leaders that were condemning Peter, John, and this lame man healed? Or would you rather be with that minority, with Peter, John, and this lame man healed against the rest of the world? I know where I'd rather be. See, in another scripture there in Romans, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Yeah. But here's the beauty of this. Even though they appeared to be alone in a small number, notice in verse 23 it says, and being let go, they went to their own. That means they went to those of the Lord's believers and congregation that he had separated out. They weren't alone. These were their brethren. We know that initially there were those 11 apostles, because Judas proved not to be one of them. And then we found in the beginning 120 that were gathered together. And then we saw where thousands the Lord brought in. You know, we may not know who they are, but the Lord does. You see this, you can see in verse 32 where it says, and the multitude of them that believed. If you add up the number from Acts 1 till now, there's over 8,000 that are mentioned. Now, they may not all be in the same place at the same time. It's like people that drive by and see our little church building here in Shreveport. They don't think anything's going on. What they don't see is around the world, where there are those, just like we're doing right now, that are gathered to hear this message of Christ. Everyone that Christ has redeemed, the Lord is going to have. He's going to draw. When Elijah thought he was by himself back in his day, the Lord reminded him that he had 7,000 others that he had reserved to himself that had not bowed the knee to Baal. That had not bowed the knee to Baal.
Anyway, come back to that one because we did not seek anything from there.
Okay. So that was the point I was making, that there are, even though we may not be in one place at one time, yet the book of Revelation talks about a number that no man can number, that the Lord has chosen and that Christ has redeemed. And so we can take encouragement from that, that he's going to have everyone that he's purposed to save. That's how he rules and overrules. So here in verse 23, when it says they let them go, being let go, it's according to God's purpose. You know, when God purposed that they arrest John the Baptist after 1 year of preaching. Here's the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet when he was arrested, he was never let go. Herod cut his head off. But even that God purposed. You see, whether we live or die is in God's hands, not men's. We were talking about that earlier Brother James, even with your stroke, if the Lord had purposed to take you out, that would have been his will. And some would look at it and think, well, but Brother James is needed in Malawi in order for God to continue his work. No, we're his servants. Same thing with me here. The Lord doesn't need me in Shreveport to do his work. But for now, he's so purposed that I be here and you be there. There's not a sickness. There's not anything that can move us or take us out but what God has purposed. I've had some in our congregation here in Shreveport tell me that, well, what would we do if you're not here? Well, you know what? If this work depends on Ken, we're all in trouble. You know, the Lord is the one who's raising up his work, and he'll raise up his preachers. He'll take care of his work. That's his to do. But here's the thing. Look in verse 23. When they came to their own company, their own, these that the Lord had separated out, it says they reported all that the chief priests and elders, notice, they don't say had done unto them, but had said unto them. That's all they could do was speak against them. They could not harm them. God had purposed that they not be harmed. I don't know if you've read the book or are acquainted with it, but it's a book called Pilgrim's Progress. And it was written by a preacher back in the 1600s. He was imprisoned because he refused to get a license to preach from the Anglican Church of the day. They didn't want him preaching without them authorizing him, but he refused. So they put him in prison for 12 years. The Lord had raised him up to preach the gospel, and he made his living going around from house to house fixing pots and pans. That's how he made his living. So when they put him in prison, they cut off the source of income for his family. His family not only lost a husband and a father, but income. And the family suffered. And he had a blind daughter that they would allow to come, and she would sit outside of his window, and he could hear her groans from crying and suffering from hunger.
amene amatokunga kubwalo nukhala pa zeneya ndikumalira kudandaula ndi njala zidali zinthu zovuta kwambiri zowawa.
And some would ask, well, why would God do that to one of his servants? And yet the Lord worked through it all. This man's name was John Bunyan. But while he was in prison, they brought him some sour milk every day to drink. And they put some paper in the top of the milk bottle to keep the stench down. And that was what he was supposed to eat. But he would take the paper out of the milk bottle, and on those pieces of paper every day, he wrote a story. And the book that he wrote still exists today. Many have read it. It's called Pilgrim's Progress. A lot of people read that story, but they don't understand the story behind the story. The story is actually his testimony of grace, how the Lord separated him out and drew him to Christ and was guiding his every step, even in the persecution. I don't know if you have the book available there. I know it's been translated in over 600 languages. But in the story, he is pilgrim, because the scriptures say that we are pilgrims and strangers in this world. That's how he identifies himself, as a pilgrim. I don't know what word you have in your language for pilgrim, but a pilgrim is a wanderer. A pilgrim is on the road. He's a wayfarer. He has no earthly home. That's how he's described. See, we're all like that. We're normal. I mean, it's natural to like to have a nice home, like to be settled, like to have things a certain way. But the Lord reminds us when he uproots us and he brings trouble into our lives and unsettles us, it's to remind us that this world is not our home. We're pilgrims passing through. But in this story, he spoke about coming up this hill, and he was going toward a house where there was somebody there that the Lord was going to use to teach him, but on either side of the path, there were two lions. Now, if you were in his place and walking up this hill on this path and you saw two lions on either side, you would be afraid. You would think, those lions are going to kill me.
Kumbukira zona ringa kare mtakala inuyo kunumulindule ndo watu ndo ngatumenewo mukumva mikango ikuye ayikulira kubwalo kumedwa mukufuka muende muchita manta chipomuzi kuveza kuti mikango iri kuphani kuvulazani kuperekana ulendo ruvhurani pamene popo.
But in the story, the house toward which the Lord was directing him was called Interpreter's House. It was someone the Lord had put in his path to teach him even more clearly of the gospel. And the Lord was directing him toward that house, and yet here were two lions on either side of his path that caused him to fear. And in the story, Interpreter that lived in that house, seeing him being afraid, came out and told him, "Don't be afraid. The lions can't hurt you. They are chained." It's a reminder, and again, every part of that story has scripture to it, because the Lord, even Peter said, Satan, the adversary, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. But let me ask you, will the roar of a lion kill you? It might make you afraid, but the roar won't kill you. When men oppose the gospel, they roar like a lion against you, but that cannot stop you where the Lord has purposed that you be preserved alive. You see that? My dad was born in Africa, in Chad, and I remember when he went back there and took us with him, I was just barely 3 years old, but I still remember my first experience at night in the house in which we stayed. There was a lion that came up on our porch and roared, and it scared me to death. I got up and ran and hopped into bed with my parents. I was afraid, but the lion couldn't hurt me. You see, the roar can't hurt you.
Ndimakumbuka ineyo bambo anga adabadwa ku Afrika ku Chadi ndipo ine ndakhala kumene kuja zaka zina ndabwerera uno kuno mkango tsiku ndinalake udali kulira ndipo ndo dali kulira ine ndachititsidwa mantha kuti mkango chaundipha ndathanira kuchipinda ndi makolo anga kukhala kumene kujako kumane mkango chasudadiphe kulira kubuma kwa mkango sikupha munthu ayi kumangopheza chani.
And I say all that because here in Acts 4:23 it says, they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. That's the roar. That they threatened them, but that couldn't stop them. And this I say to encourage those of you that the Lord is raising up to be preachers of the gospel. We're going to be constantly under the threat of this world, under the threat of religious condemned people. They threaten. And every time you think that there's peace and quiet, then here comes another threat. But none of that can stop the Lord from doing his work.
Mafunani kulimbikitsera nyamata amene mudzuka kumene kuja kulalikira uthenga wabwino kuti chipembedzo ndi dziko lapansi zidzakuthutsani zidzafuna kukuopsezani komabe musasokonezeke yayi mulungu adzachita chine chichose chimene chimukomera munthawi yake ndipo sizidzakuonongani ngakhale atadzuka kuthutsani uthenga wabwino inuwo kalimbeni mtima kalalikireni uthenga wabwino monga mene ukufunikira palibe chokusokonezani chokuonongani yayi.
So we spent a lot of time on that first point, God ruling and overruling in the works or the ways of natural men. They have no power but what God gives them that authority. But here's the second way that God rules and overrules, which is in verse 24. I want you to read verse 24. God rules in and overrules in the unity that he gives his people. There's a oneness that he gives his people that is not natural. But I want you to see in verse 24, and again, this is God ruling and overruling, because it says, when they heard that, in other words, the threatenings, that's normally where you see people kind of divide and thinking, well, if that's the case, I'm out of here. But it says they lift up their voice to God, notice, with one accord, one mind, one heart. Brother James, you have experienced it there. I've experienced it over the years of preaching the gospel here, that where you preach the gospel, there's going to be a division. There are going to be those that oppose. They're going to try to get you to change. And when you don't, they threaten you. That's part of standing true to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to have people that are going to come see you, and they're going to want to talk. They're going to want to sit down and try to figure out a happy ground, a happy medium to where everybody can get along. That's man's methods. We're not to change the message of the gospel of Christ that's revealed here in this word to satisfy men. This one thing I know, that those that are the Lord's, that he has truly taught by his grace, they will be of one mind and one heart. See, in this we see God ruling and overruling. I think about that here in our small congregation, the fact that we get along, the fact that, we're not having meetings after meetings trying to keep people happy and figure out how to resolve problems. That's all part of works religion. It's not part of the gospel, because where the gospel has been revealed in the heart of a sinner, those will be of one mind and one heart. The Lord has purposed it.
Verse
kuma zimenezo zosiziri mutenga wabino cholinga ya zimenezo mfuno mkwa sangaya sana zimenezo mbezo kima kuna kuma chindunjiche ni jene chamu Kristu adafira antuagi divo ama kuna zivumbulu chaeka wawo vumbulu kitsiluao ama mwelaba mwazi kumali mikitana za kuma amba basi.
Over the last 30 plus years that the Lord has strengthened me to preach the gospel, there have been conflicts. Even in the congregations, where there's wheat, there are tares. But I've never, by God's grace, got sidetracked and said, well, let's sit down and let's try to sort this out. I continue to do one thing, and that is to stand up and open this word and declare the glories of Christ. And people come and go. You know, they'll go away mad, some of them. But we're not to be deterred by men in order to satisfy men. There's one message that the sheep, the true sheep, need and want to hear, and that is that of Christ and Him crucified. This is how the Lord overrules in His grace. We're all sinners. So how is it we get along? Well, we get along because the Lord has been pleased to reveal Christ in us. And our eyes are on Christ and not on one another. When you see a flock of sheep, do you hear one sheep talking about another sheep and saying, well, that sheep there is a little dirty, or that sheep there, he's look where he's going, he's wandering. Sheep don't have their eyes on sheep. What stirs sheep up is when you get a few goats in the midst, and then they start bucking. But even there, it's the shepherds to separate out sheep and goats. It's the shepherd. Our eyes are on the shepherd. Have you ever read our Lord's Prayer in John 17? This prayer was for His church. Look in John 17, verses 20 and 21.
You see what
verse 20 says? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which also shall believe on me through their word. He was talking about not just the immediate disciples, but others that he would redeem, that he would in time call through their preaching. And you see verse 21, he says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us.
Ndipo ndimaka 21 imene kuti kuti onse akakhala amodzi monga inu Atate mwa ine ndi ine mwa inu kuti iwonso akakhale mwa ife kuti dziko lapansi likakhulupirire kuti inu munandituma ine.
Now I hear some making excuses. They say, well, as long as we're in the world, we can't really expect to get along. That's why you have all these different congregations and denominations, etc. But that's the reason there are all of these denominations and separations is because Christ is not preached. I'll tell you, where Christ is preached, there you'll find the sheep gathered and they will be one. Because the Lord, when He prays for something, He has what He prays for.
Tikuona ndimayakamene chifukwa chimene mipingo ikuchulukira mayina mbiri mbiri kuti mpingwa kuti mpingwa kuti mpingwa kuti ichi nchitsimikizo chonena kuti mipingoyo sikumva uthenga wabwino koma uthenga wabwino weniweni nkhosa zimakhala pamodzi ndipo zimamva chinthu chimodzi chimene chikupangitsa kuti mipingo zingochuluka dera limodzi chikuona kuti mipingoyo sikumva chida chilichonse cha uthenga wa nkhosa.
In that we see how God rules and overrules. Even in the nature of our hearts would be to divide and to devour one another. And yet, by God's grace, He causes us as sinners to look to Christ alone. And there we are united. When our eyes are on Christ, there's no division. There's no fight. We are one.
Zidzabwera pamodzi, zidzakhulupirira mawu, ndipo zidzakhala pamodzi, zidzapembedza pamodzi, chifukwa zipembedzo zonse ndi nkhosa. Chizindikiro chake kuti ili ndi thupi ndi chipembedzo, zimakonda mipatuko ndi magawano.
Now look with me here in Acts 4:24, because as you go down through here, you begin to see the oneness that God by His Spirit gives those that Christ has redeemed. There's a oneness. You see in verse 24 that they lift up their voice. It doesn't say voices. They lift up their voice to God. It's speaking what comes from the heart to one God. The God that they worship is the God of the Bible. I don't know what it's like there in Malawi, but here in the United States, particularly in Shreveport, and I know it's other cities that way, that there are those who call themselves Christian. They want to have these non-denominational prayer groups. They want to cross boundaries of denominations. They'll say, come and let's just get along, let's pray, and it doesn't matter what your view of God is. We're going to lay all those things aside so we can get along. And they want you to join them.
Sindudziwa ku Malawi kuti mukamata Khristu amapanga zorani amachita zorani koma kuno ku America tikamata ya Khristu ndikuti anthu amaenda mitunda italiitali kubwera pamodzi kwapemphera pamodzi sizipangika kuti apa gulu ili lizipemphera ili lizipemphera lizipemphera zina kuti kuchita zinthu zofanana ayi anthu ochita zofanana amene ndi akhristu eniwene amalola kuenda mtunda wautali kokhala pamodzi ndi abale wawo kuti apempherere imodzi chifukwa ndi nkhosa zonsezo pamodzi.
When I first moved to Shreveport 20 years ago and different preachers found out that I was here, they were inviting me to their preachers' prayer groups, their preachers' fellowships. They met on different days and they wanted me to join them. And they were astounded when I asked them, well, what God are we praying to? They looked puzzled. What do you mean, what God?
Ndipo kumbuka zaka makumi awiri zapita mbuyomu pamene ndani ndazitumikazi zanga amene amandirana kuti ayi mubwere kuchechi kwathu tikakhale pamodzi mukatumikirepo kumabe ndani ndimofunsa amene mathakuwafunsa kodi ndi mulunguuti amene ndiwo mumampembeza Fusolantu numeneo limasone za azibusa abirama la likira mungu wenyeo ama jama la likira mungu wenyeo ama sone zeba nikangu wakuzo nukwa nitu mungu abene mapepeza kuchechi kwa nungu abene mwurile kabu ya likara likire na amu.
The reason we meet apart, even in our congregation, it's not because we're mean-spirited people. I'm not going out there and denouncing people and yelling at them and threatening them. That's what they do, just like the Sanhedrin. They threatened Peter and John, but Peter and John didn't threaten them. That's not the spirit the Lord gives. The reason we meet apart is because by the Spirit of grace being taught of Christ, we cannot compromise. We cannot address a God like the world does who is not our God. There's a oneness in those that the Lord has taught as to who God is. And that's what we see here. With one voice to God, with one accord, they said, Lord, thou art God. Now, if you want a good little outline, and this is not original with me, I heard it years ago, but I see it throughout Scripture. When we're talking about God, there's four ways that He's described, the God of Scripture. You can write this down if you want. And I truly believe where God has done a work of grace, you're going to find this agreement. We don't have to sit down and try to work out bylaws and confessions of faith and write down what it is we believe. This is a very simple thing. Who is God? That's where it all stands or falls. Who is God? And if this is going to be what the Lord directs you to preach tomorrow when your congregation gathers, then here's your four points right here. Who is God? Number one, He's the God of creation. So here, you see that in verse 24. Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and what? All that in them is. There's not a thing that lives, moves, or has its being, but what God has created it, and that means even the devil. Isn't that what your Bible says? Well, it says, which has made heaven and all that in them is. What's in heaven? What's in the heavens? But the stars, the planets, the solar system, but also angels, devils. These are all from the hand of God.
Sibenze nekira kuti chiri chose chimene chiri kudzanja la Mulungu chiri Mulungu ndiwolenga zvose kodi kumwamba akalenga chani kuda dangole munga nyenyezi mwezi ndizuwa ai adalenga sunga kare angelo munga kare satana yozwa nazo adalenga ndiyeyo ndi mwerera ndi mulenge wachina chiti chose ndipo amazira mulira ndi kuzisunga ndiyeyo.
And then it says, and earth, all that is in the earth. That means good, what we consider good people and evil people. There's nothing that lives or moves or has its being but what God has created them. That's what the Lord directed Paul to write there in Romans, even about Pharaoh, that it was the Lord. You're talking about Pharaoh, an evil man, but the Lord raised him up. There's not a thing that moves in this earth, whether it's on earth or in the sea, but what God has created. That's number
one.
You know how religion preaches the world. They say, well, it's divided in two parts. So on the one hand, you've got the part that God's in control of, and then over here on the other part, you've got the part that Satan is controlling. And they see the world as a constant tug of war, and then somehow people are in between, and so they're helping God, some pulling one way, some are helping the devil pulling the other way. That's how they view the world, but that's not the God of the world.
Mwazona mene zipembezo zimalalikira utenga wabwino. Zimana kuti dziko lidagawika pawiri, kuti dziko la Satana ndi dziko la Mulungu. Kodi kuti Satana chilekezana chochita kutenga mavuto nkuwaponya ku dziko la Mulungu lokuti anthu avutikeko, basi munthu usakhoza kufuna kuchoka ku dziko ili kupita kuchoka kupita uko. Nimene zipembezo zimalalikirira utenga, koma sizoona zenizeni ndi bodza la zipembezo.
Do you have the game there called tug of war where you get a rope and then you try to get two teams, one on either side pulling, and then they try to see which team is stronger by pulling one way or another? Do you have that kind of game there? They have it here in the United States. Yeah, so that's how people are in religion. When they ask you, we need to get more people praying, for example. Let's get more people praying. What they're thinking is the devil's winning, so we got to get more people on God's side. So they have these all-night vigils and prayers, and they're helping God. They're helping their God out. That's not the God of the Bible. God is the God of creation. This is His world. We're just tenants. We're living here for a while, and then He'll take us out anytime He wants to. This is His world. So that leads me to the second point about God. Remember I said there's four points. He's God of creation, but secondly, He's also God of providence. Providence means how He directs the world. It's Him directing it. He's the creator, so it's His right to do with His world what He will. You see in verse 25 and 26, they have one accord. They were taught in the Word. They're quoting here Psalm 2. If you'll read that, verses 25 and 26 is a direct quote out of Psalm 2.
It says,
why do the heathen rage? That word is in the plural. Why do the nations rage? And the people imagine vain things. It's a vain thing to imagine that somehow man is controlling his destiny. It's vain. And note in verse 26, the heathen rage, the nations rage. It's not just that they war against one another, but in verse 26, notice, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together, notice, against the Lord and against his Christ, against his anointed one.
And
if you read verse 27, you can see the interpretation of Psalm 2. It's not just talking about any kind of general opposition to God and to Christ, but it's talking about when Pilate and Herod and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together against Christ and cried, crucify him, crucify him. Even in that, God was directing. Now, even in that, this is an amazing thing, because when you see Herod, the family of Herod, that was a Jewish family that served the Roman government. And therefore, being a Jew and serving the Roman government, the Jews considered Herod to be a traitor. They didn't like him. And Pilate was a Roman governor that was put there by the Romans to oversee the area. And normally those two, Herod and Pilate, didn't get along. But now, when it comes to condemning Christ, they're of one mind. Just like it says Gentile and people of Israel. Those were two groups of people that normally did not get along, but now all of them are united against Christ. And here's the point, that God was directing in it all. He's the God of providence.
Adali mloma, fumu ya kuloma, mkuunji ya gogo. Ndipo, ndi Yesu Kristo, zani zota ya nakutaya. Kumecho kuja ndiishi. Muyuda, amina madana ni mkuunja, kuma bada mbilizada pa moza, yuda na uherene na uunja, akarepa mozi, anzuze Yesu Kristo. Kulichipa chitika nchani, mbilizada uda, badwila poti kuji, anfamene ngofuni ayuda, ndi anfamene sayuda, abilizane, urazuze Yesu Kristo.
You see, the natural world religion would look at this and say, well, Pilate and Herod, they were evil. And so they were under the influence of the devil. And that's why they did what they did. Well, if you read verse 28, you find out otherwise. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. They didn't do one thing more or less than what God in his providence determined should be done. That's the God of the Bible. When you see there's some that would say, well, we just got to find a way to get along. We may not all view God the same way, but we're all his children. No. If your view of God is not that of Scripture, the God of creation and the God of providence who directs and works all things according to his will, one thing is certain, you don't know God. So very simply, the third and the fourth point with regard to God and who he is. He's God of creation. He's the God of providence. But he's the God of salvation, number three. And number four, he's the God of condemnation, of judgment. He saves whom he will. He condemns whom he will. Let's not forget the reason. Even as in Acts 2 and verse 23, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, why God delivered his son up into the hands of these wicked men. It wasn't that they were stronger than he, but it's because God purposed to use those wicked hands to crucify his son so that his son pay the sin debt and satisfy law and justice to save a people. That's the God of salvation.
Tisaiwale mutu weniweni wa uchenga watu, tikamawana kumajikido chapula tu, kumena manda uti feo tuwa mamku wa zona uti inuyo inuyo, munu kwa nadenga mwana wage nampere kwa inyo ule mumzuse, mumvule nipo mumupi, nipo muna mupi kakile manja wanu. Chimele tine nekila kuchoche na munu kwa na alola, kuna pebe, lia nfone sedwa, nicho nika yore alipile mchengu wache, wansembe, wapalamura sembe ya uchimo, ya antamina kari uchimo, antone sedwa, kuri muizi,
You see, this is the mystery of godliness, how God, with one act, the crucifixion of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he can use it to the salvation of those that he purposed to save on the one hand, and yet on the other, use it for the condemnation of those that crucified him. That he leaves to themselves. That is God. We don't read anywhere in Scripture where the Lord ever turned the heart of Herod or Pilate after they had crucified our Lord, turned their hearts to Christ. They were condemned. He left them to their condemnation.
Monga wa Pilato, Yesu Kristo, ada pedwa, ada idwa manda, ada zuba,
Koma zimene chikulankhula chinthu chichake chonati ndi mulungu wakuweruza ndipo ena amene adamupha Yesu Khristu adayikidwadi kumene kuja ndipo sangalapeso sadzapulumukaso ayi mbali yawo ndimeneyo adangoyikidwa chondelera apanzunze basa.
God didn't force them to do what they did. He left them to themselves. They acted according to the wickedness of their heart. And yet, here's where we see God is a God of salvation, because in that very act of crucifying Christ, Christ paid the sin debt of a people that the Father gave him from eternity. And everyone that he paid the debt to save are saved.
Ndipo tikuona kuti Mulungu adamupatsa Yesu Khristu anthu oti awafere ndipo khawo amene adamupatsa Yesu kuti awafere adawafera ndipo adawalipirira mtengo wake adawapatsa moyo koma anthu amene adachita zimenezo alipo wina mtundu ulipo mtundu wina wa anthu amene ungakhala atapanga bwanji sangapulumuke sangalape ayi adawasiya momwemo ndipo adzakhala momwemo idali ntchito adangogwiritsa ntchito ngati zida zothandizira kuzuza Yesu ndicho liberoti amene ndi aka Yesu akwanise kupulumutsidwa.
Judas was hardened. He was a son of perdition. God so purposed.
Woyamba tikozo muona ndi Yudas Sikariyoti mwana wa upanduyo amene Mulungu adachita kuyikiratu kuti akakhale wokapereka Yesu Khristu kuthandizira kuti inwe ndine amene ndifekosa tipulumuke.
Herod was hardened. In fact, the Lord called him a fox. He was a hardened man. The Lord purposed his condemnation. Pilate was hardened. You remember his wife had a dream to let him go. And Pilate tried to wiggle out every way he could, but he wouldn't in the end do anything but deliver Christ up to be crucified. He was
hardened.
But God is a God of condemnation. He's a God of creation, providence. He's a God of salvation and condemnation. Here's where we see his salvation, in that through that act, they through wicked hands crucified him, but God purposed it by that death that Christ should bear the sin debt of his people and save a people, save a nation.
Pankoda kwa zinthu zimenezi kutire kutoti Yesu ndi wolenga ndi wodziwiratu ndi wachipulumutso wonse ndi woweruza kuti Mulungu adalola dala kugumitsa dala wena anthu cholinga choti akadzozera wawa cholinga choti akamtsutse Yesu akamupe kuti Yesu alipire mtengo wake wa nkhosa zake kuti mumenemo nkhosa zizikwanitse kupulumuka osakhazi poti zinafuna ayi koma kuti wazilipirira mtengo wake Yesuyo.
And here's where we see the wonder of God's word, because on that day when Christ was crucified, there were two conversions to Christ that are reported and recorded in the word. You know where they are? Who they are? The two? You know one of them, that was the thief on the cross. While he sat, while he was there breathing out, railing against Christ, suddenly his heart was changed and he turned to the Lord and said, remember me when you come in your kingdom. You remember what Joseph told his brethren after they had mistreated him and hated him and put him to death, they thought, and the Lord preserved him and raised him up and then brought them years later down to Egypt, and he revealed himself to them and they were afraid, and he said, don't be afraid. What you purpose for evil, God purposed for good.
kukukita soya amena adaya panga Yesu Kristo ada ukitsidwa kaya mwina adapita kwa ikuburu mazuzo achosa jadashita kwa ikuburu kwa ikuburu la pansi lima kuni tisa choiba pamene Mulungu ama kuni tisa chabu ino ntaizo sepana.
Herod and Pilate and those that mocked Christ that day while he hung on the cross, they meant it for evil. But God all the while was directing, not only in the condemnation and leaving them to their blindness, but salvation. There was the thief on the cross, but there was one other. You remember? A centurion soldier? That when the Lord opened his eyes, he'd seen many, many, many people put to death. And yet he said, never has a man died like this man. Truly, this is the Son of God. This is a Roman, hardened Roman soldier.
Tikamaona so Bible mujamu, tikumona Herode, kudadari mvuda, Pilato, pamozidi, amirunduosa, kuhimila isi, kudilinda zuza Yesu Christu, mpawana kumupa, kumano, Oya mbadala kundi mbava, imeleda kumiloba mtande, mene ila kumbukilidu, wapaka nila kumbu msido. Kutu hui nadali kenturi, amena mangani, washiloma, amena mangani, asikalo kona hambrede. Amene na yenso, wawona marilo, osena siyana, wawona kuhigida kwa antu, osena siyana. Kuma ndimba lilo ambu ya yesu, adala mkula mawu, sindi na wone po, infa, yofana na nimene ya shikika hapa hapa. Izi nchitsimikizo, nizono nadu kuhuyu, adali mwana wa Mulungu. Unataza na Yesu, Mungu wada mkumbukila, ni wada mkumbukila, ni wada na Yesu, kituli yoyo, adari mkosa.
And here's the beauty of God's grace in working in the hearts of sinners. Because you have on that cross, next to Christ, that thief, and the only reason people were crucified, they were the outcasts of society. That's not how they put to death Roman citizens. This was an outcast of society that was being crucified with our Lord. He was numbered among transgressors. And yet, here was a Roman soldier, high society. You didn't become a centurion just by happenstance. You were promoted to that role. And yet, the Lord, in his grace, brought both the thief and that soldier to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ and made them one in him. One. That's that oneness. That's God.
Tikamona mbaibulo, antaminama kumira vantanda. Adalantoi oipa wambili, amine spana inirasa kakalandi moyo, amina nafunika kalikuunja kwan famoyo, amina mwone kakaran famino, ndipo pachifuwe jojo, Bible mwene of Yesu Christo, adamuwe na ingira ni wala kapa mozi na antochima, adakala na antamina na unika usta funigira kwa kumira nopa mtanda, kwa mandijo olinga jona na koji, wapa mtanda ya amene nikosa, abulumuge. Kuma jona kuisa nchwa kwa sajibi ncha koji, uya dali mwene usta funigira, adakumira kwa mtanda, antuwa hivi sisa, kuma uyuyu kentuli yo uyu, amena dali nisirigali yu, adali mwene onika kwa hira mtima, antuanga onika ngadabu yu. Kama na Yesu huyo adapulumu tisidwa. Dia kupulumu kwa mtu ya mwoneka wabwino. Adakakumba na mtu habina mwoneka waiva. Ose mkukarapa mwazi. Ifaya Yesu Kristu ndapindu wa mtila wawa. Wada woga nidwa mkosa kanidwa. Akarepa mwazi. Chipose wazidari mkosa zambu.
Well, we're going to have to stop there. Our time is gone. I just saw what time it is and went beyond what I thought. But the Lord so purposed. But you think you can remember those four when someone says to you, let's get together and fellowship. Let's talk about God first. Who is the God that we worship? He's God of creation, God of providence, the God of salvation, and the God of judgment. His will be done. I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That is so touching, so touching, and so blessing. We thank God that today we came out to the end without much interruption from the network. And thank God for that.
Yes.
And the message has been so clear, very, very clear, and very touching to all of us here. a message that cannot be echoed in whichever way. We just want to close this service this evening here by singing hymn number 5 in English. Go with me to that one. We talk about this Jesus Christ. And we are going to sing this song, as I say, because we are closing. We are closing the English song. And this song, we ask those brothers and sisters online, I think they will be enjoying and be blessed as they sing with us. Sing with the church in Malawi, Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, rest for me. Let me hide myself in you. Let the world be blood from thy Jesus Christ's soul. Be most dear of you. Trace me for Lord of death, oh my heart, can fulfill thy Lord's demand. Could my zeal nor insight know? Could my tears forever flow? Oh, think not at all. Thou must say, and thou wilt know. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Make it come to thee for dread. Helpless through to thee for grace, how are to them nothing fly? Watch me, Savior, oh, I die. Why I draw his pleading blame when my eyes lost in sin. When I saw to what unknown, sitting on the judgment throne, Rock of Ages, pray for me. Let me hide myself in Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy own demands. Could I my zeal nor insight know? Could my tears forever flow? Or for sin could not atone? Thou must save, or else you alone must save. Nothing in my hand, nothing I can bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, wretched, wicked, sinful, come to thee for dread, for salvation. Helpless, helpless, I look to thee for grace. Fall, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Father. Wash me, God. Wash me, Savior. Or else I die. Wow. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Brother Cain, will you close this service with a word of prayer? And God bless you.
Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious Father, we're so unworthy even to hear a message such as we've heard, to read it, and to be able to enter into it with any sort of understanding. We know, Father, that's only by your grace. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would take this message and use it as you please. We know that You are the God of creation and providence. You direct your word as you will. To some, you will make it a word of salvation, a savor of life unto life. And to others, it will be a hardening. They'll hear it, they'll mull it, they'll think about it, and they'll determine in their hearts that that is not the God that they will worship, and they'll go their way. In either case, you have so purposed. I pray that you would give us rest and peace, not to run after men who are hardened or to try to persuade them otherwise. Lord, they are what they are, and none is going to come to Christ except those that you draw. So may we bow, and if no one else does, may we rejoice even in the fact that you were pleased to save such wretches as we are. That even I, that I should be of that number, whether anybody else believes or not, that you would grant to such a wretch as I, eyes to see Christ and to look on him whom my sins crucified. It doesn't matter whether it's anybody else. I know my sins put him there, nailed him there. And for that I thank you, that you did not leave such a one as I to myself, but you saved me from myself, you saved me from my sin, you saved me from religion, false profession, and have drawn me to Christ. And I'm thankful for these others that you have given as brothers and in fellowship across the world, that of one mind and one accord, we look to you and we give you all the praise and honor and glory. Lord, keep us humble. Keep us low at Christ's feet. Give us eyes to behold Christ alone. And we're mindful to give you all the praise and honor and glory in his precious name. Amen.